Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's podcast, today's episode. Today's conversation, whatever you want to call it. We're glad that you're here. And John, I'm glad that you're back with us as well. We are in my favorite section of the book of James, James 4, verses 13 through 17, talking about life, talking about the will of God. And we're in the last two verses of the section. Matter of fact, John, you and I were talking before the podcast about, you know, where do you stop on some of these verses?
Exactly right. They're so rich and full of truth.
We plan it. I just want you listeners to know that we're more organized than we appear, than we sound. We plan to finish some sections, but it just, boy, you get talking about it and the Bible's so rich and deep. So as we're talking about this section of life is a vapor and the will of God is paramount, we get to the end of the chapter where James has some pretty pointed things to say about those that will not give God their lives. And remember, we're speaking to brethren. So when I speak to you listeners, I know that most of you would be like me, where you would say, I believe in Jesus Christ and I want to follow him with my life. Now, if that's not you, I'm glad that you're listening too. And my prayer would be that you'd become a Christ follower as well. But if you're like me, but those are tough words to hear, to say, hey, brethren, hey, brother, you know, you're not living right.
Yeah, exactly right. James is showing where they have gone awry in their life. And we have here, as we're going to see, these people are arrogant about what they're doing. They're just boasting about what they have in their life. And as I think about how James is talking to these people and how they look at themselves almost as if they're self-made men, so to speak, I'm reminded that there are no self-made men. And I think sometimes in American culture, we're so used to American individualism that we often place a lot of emphasis upon me. What are my rights? You know, what am I going to have? Rather than realizing we're all part of a community. I'm part of a church. That church body is what Christ has called me to minister and to serve in. And James talks, obviously, about that throughout here. But when I have the right attitude toward what God's doing in my life, I will treat people around me right. And I won't be boasting about my life, but I'll be ministering to other people around me.
And think about what James has just condemned in this chapter, and that is pride. You know, God's going to resist the proud. He's going to give grace to the humble. And this entire last portion of chapter 4 is an indication of the humble person is going to recognize God and submit his life to him. The proud person is going to say, it's my life. Just as you just suggested, it's my life. I can do what I want. I want to make my money. I want to go where I want to go without any regard to what God wants him to do. So when you think about that extended, maybe illustration of pride, I see pride in three ways in the last few verses here. First of all, the verse that we talked about at the end of last episode, just to come back to it for a moment, verse 15, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So the idea there is, here's what you ought to be saying. You're not saying this, but what you ought to be saying. So I call this the pride of assuming. We assume that our lives belong to us. And that's such a faulty assumption. Our lives do not belong to us.
No, they do not at all. And that's why, you know, I think even of churches, how churches, if in churches, all members would give money to the church as God wants them to, churches would have money to do more things than they do. But people so much look at their money as their own because they look at their lives as their own.
Or their time. If people would attend as they should or serve as they should. And let's not say they, let's say we.
That's exactly right.
Because it's so true.
Yes.
So the pride of assuming that my life belongs to me, therefore my will is paramount. And even in our prayers, sometimes we demonstrate that. It's not a matter of prayer saying, Lord, I want to submit to your will. It's a matter of, I want to impose my will upon God. God, here's what I want you to do for me. Here's how I want you to answer my prayer. Here's, yes. Boy, pride has so many subtle masks, doesn't it?
Yes, it certainly does. And we find it throughout all the scriptures. God warns about it time and again.
But let's just emphatically answer that question before we move on to the last two verses. And that is, does a believer's life belong to him?
To God, beyond doubt. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own.
That's
I'm to glorify God.
Yeah, that's the verse I was really driving at. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. Therefore, Paul said to the Corinthians, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And then again, he reminds them, which are God's, which belong to God.
Yes.
And then that great verse in 1 Peter, where it says, we've been redeemed. We've been, and the term literally means purchased.
Right.
We've been redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but here's the purchase price, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So no, we're not our own. Yes, we belong to God. And wow, we have been purchased at a great cost. So who do we think we are to impose our will upon the Lord?
Yes, it reminds me of the warning passage in Hebrews 2. When the writer of Hebrews reminds his readers that if the people in the Old Testament time had to give an account for things they did, how do we think we're going to escape if we neglect the great salvation we have through Jesus Christ? We have great privileges because of Christ's grace and Christ's work on the cross. And with that, we have great responsibilities to serve him faithfully.
And Jesus made the exact same argument when he said, hey, we can do all we want as far as condemning Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, but I'm telling you that woe unto you, Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. You've had greater opportunities because you've seen me. And then the tenor in Hebrews, you know, you have had a greater insight. You have been presented Christ himself. We have a greater responsibility. As New Testament believers, we're reading the book of James. We see this theology spelled out before us. We have been given much, much shall be required of us.
And that is a sobering thought and a very, you know, a thought of exhortation that we had better make sure that we are living for God's glory.
So the first element of pride I see in James 4 is this pride of assuming. I assume that my life belongs to me. But then I think you brought the word before, arrogance, because it says in read it for us, verse 16.
But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil.
So what you ought to be saying is, God, your will matters. My life belongs to you. If I do go to such and such a city, Lord, if it's your will, I want to go and do this or that. But what are they saying? They're not saying that. What they are saying is they're boasting. So it's almost as if God has equipped these people with just the right gifts and abilities and opportunities to serve him. And they're taking the giftings of God and not using them for God's glory, but they're using the giftings of God and using them for their own glory and then boasting about it. It's like, I'm boasting that I'm rich, even though I didn't earn a penny.
Exactly right. And you know, in Corinthians, we find this over and again where there's division and conflict. And even in 1 Corinthians 11, the rich are treating the poor despicably. And there was great judgment from God upon some people in that church because of that.
Yeah. And Paul, in coming to that place of humility, said, yeah, who made you? Who gave you those gifts? Who elevated you? Listen, praise God and honor God, you know, regardless of what your station in life is. It's not about being somebody you're not. It's celebrating what God has given you, using it for his good and for his glory.
Yes, and the parable of talents. Some people are given more, and they have more to invest to serve Christ with, so to speak. It doesn't matter who we are. It's all from God, and we use whatever God has given us. Some people may be, you know, more in the public eye in Christian service, but it's often that person who's a prayer warrior who may be never in the public circle, so to speak, but they are praying intently, and mighty things are done because of that.
So pride shows up sometimes in what we assume. You know, my life belongs to me, when it doesn't. Pride is really easy to recognize when it shows up as arrogant boasting, to say, look at me, look at what I can do. But it's really a slap in the Lord's face to brag about things that you didn't do, gifts that you don't have absent His grace. And it's just arrogance, really. And then thirdly and lastly, look at verse 17, which is a concluding verse in the chapter. Therefore, so that's a word of conclusion, to him that knoweth to do good. So I hope I'm not misreading this, John, but to me in chapter 4, the good that we know to do is to live our lives by the will of God.
Oh, beyond doubt, that's what James is getting at here.
So if I know that I'm supposed to live my life according to the dictates of God's will, not for my own pleasure, not that I'll never enjoy life, but that's not the purpose of life, not for my own agenda, not to bring glory to myself, but if I'm supposed to live my life doing this or that according to the will of God, and I don't do that, then how am I living?
Living in sin.
I'm living in sin. That's the point. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we always view sin as these overt expressions of immorality, like adultery and drug addiction and murder and, you know, all of that. Now, are they sins? Of course they are. But sin has a much, much broader picture, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. I think about David and Saul. It's a classic example. You know, in man's mind, just if you ask the average person on the street who was the worst sinner, Saul or David, a lot of people say David. He committed adultery and he committed murder. He's a terrible guy. But God looked at their heart. David really had a heart that longed to please God and longed to give God glory. Saul was consumed with himself. What can I do for myself? How can I help myself out? How can I look good? And although on the outward, David would have done some things that mankind would have said was worse, God knew the heart, and David really had a heart to want to please God. And when David did wrong, he came to God with a contrite heart. God, please forgive me. I want to have your power in my life and serve you.
No, that's so good. So, I mean, that it's a sobering thought, my friends, because the Bible says, hey, you can be living in sin and not even know it. These were people that were buying, they were selling, they were getting gain, they were making plans, they were going on business trips. And James just said, stop. Hey, everybody, listen. Just listen. Your life is short. Only what's done for Christ will last. Seek and find and practice the will of God for your life. Get off your high horse. Even the good things you have, God gave them to you. So humbly, faithfully, diligently serve him with your life. Discover his will, obey it, and see what God can do. And that would be my, I guess, admonition to each one of you today. My admonition to myself as I look myself in the mirror and say, hey, the only life that matters is a life absorbed in and dedicated to the will of Almighty God. Thank you, as always, for joining us, and we are looking forward to our very next conversation. But until then, God bless you. Have a great day, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.